This sermon was downloaded from www.spiritnerds.org. We equip Christians with thousands of strategic spiritual materials daily. Join millions of Christians around the world who have come to Spirit Nerds to learn about God and His Word today.
Can you just bow your heads and let's pray together that, Father, we ask that you speak your word to us this morning. We ask for strength, we ask for grace, we ask for wisdom. We receive strength from you. This setup by the Lord will count in our lives. That this morning the hand of the Lord will come upon us. In the name of the Lord Jesus, Father, we receive grace and apostleship. We thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. Thank you, everlasting Father. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Pastor Bridget, good to see you again. Prophet Jang, good morning. The Doc, morning, sir. Reverend Gideon, good morning, sir. Reverend Dan, my own international director, morning, sir. Dr. Pastor Josh, thank you. Good morning, sir. And Father Raz, well done. I'm just trying to gather strength, okay? Amen. Okay, we are looking at, and let me say a very wonderful congratulations to all the graduates this morning. Please, can you celebrate them? Celebrate them this morning. And if you are not in this institution, I will encourage you to make sure you be a part of us. Your life will never remain the same in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Last night, when Reverend Gideon was speaking, God's servant, he spoke about the anointing, oil, talked about how that we carry out our assignment by the endowment that we receive from God. And we looked at Zechariah chapter 4. And then from there, we morphed into Exodus, the book of Exodus, where we looked at oil and all that we should behold from there. This morning, I will want to speak to us. Let me just tell you a few things about what happened to me this morning. I had an experience this morning. I actually went out, took a walk early hours of the morning to pray. And then I got the message that I'll be taking this session. I said, okay, that's fine. Thank God I even went out to take a walk. And I was beginning to meditate on what he did last night to see how we can just build upon what he said, block upon block. But while I went into the shower, the Lord spoke to me expressly, clearly, and said, speak to them on accurate posture for divine assignment. And I said, okay, this is another, we are looking at, not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And he says, speak to them on the accurate posture to divine assignment. And I think this building, I will be talking and using this building as an example. I want to speak in very simple, plain manner to us this morning. And I want you to please open your spirit, open your heart, and follow the things I'm about to share with you. They may be coming at you in form of capsules or tablets or secrets, whichever one you want to appropriate to yourself. But I know I have something to say to you because this is what the Lord said I should say to you. And as our manner is, if the Lord permit us to speak, we will also bring the word of the Lord to us. But this morning, he spoke to me about teaching you a few matters. And when you look at the book of Zechariah, I've started already. If you look at the book of Zechariah, chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3 to chapter 4, there is something very delicate. There is something very key, very important that we need to pay attention to, because it was about a building project. Somebody say building project. So the reason why Reverend Gideon will have to call this, title this program, what's the theme again? By my spirit, says the Lord, is indirectly trying to tell us that I'm not telling you guys to come and see what I have built. I'm not trying to gather people to tell them that I have built an edifice in Jos. He's indirectly thanking God when he said, by my spirit. It's not just saying, he just didn't want to come direct to us at Thanksgiving service or Thanksgiving conference. He was actually saying to us that this building you see here is not the summation of man's strategy. That what you are seeing here is not a summation of man's wisdom, but a building that appeared by the hand of the Lord. And the book of Zechariah actually depicts that to us, how that God wanted to build himself a temple, a restoration of the temple that has been forsaken, a temple that has been left comatose as a result of the captivity of his people. So because they were in captivity, God needed to bring them back at some point, and the people that he was going to bring back to build the temple were called the remnant. Somebody say remnant. Somebody say remnant. Now, the word remnant is not a ministry name. It's a strategy by God. Every time you hear the word remnant in the scriptures, is a strategy for recovery. And God was going to recover his people. God was going to recover his temple. And the way to go about it was to put that burden, stir up the heart of a man called Cyrus. Okay? So if you really want to understand what it meant that the hand of God will be upon somebody to bring about the project of the Lord, you cannot read the book of Zacharias alone in order to understand what God was doing with the life and the ministry of Zerubbabel, with the life and the ministry of Zechariah. You will have to study Haggai and you will have to study Ezra in order to understand fully what God was saying, in order to grasp the entire picture of what was going on with the project. So there are postures for us that will either engender or endanger the things that God has given to us. When you look at the book of Zechariah, when you look at the book of Haggai, and you look at the book of Ezra, you will notice a few things. There are details of this prophecy that are not captured in the book of Zechariah and not in Haggai, but in Ezra. Ezra is the book that will give you the clear picture of what was going on when God was speaking to Zacharias and Zerubbabel through Zechariah, and he said, not by power, not by might, but what? By my spirit, saith the Lord. Now, the first thing you also need to remember, that every time God gives you a divine assignment, your assignment does not immune you from enemies. Every time God says to you that I have an assignment for you, it does not immune you from attacks. Every time that God says I have an assignment for you, a divine project, it does not immune you from resistance. That the Lord says to you, rise up and build a house for me, doesn't mean that it's going to be on a bed of roses. It means that there will be challenges. It means there will be resistance. It means there will be attacks. It means there will be pushback. But what is the attitude of the believer? What is the attitude of the recipient of that prophetic word from the Lord? So if you look at Zechariah chapter 1, let's go to Haggai chapter 1 first. Haggai chapter 1. Let me show you something quickly that I want to note. In Haggai chapter 1, it says, in the second year of Darius the king, in the sixth month, in the first day of the month, came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet unto who? Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and Joshua, the son of Josadek, the high priest. So you see, the word of the Lord came to Zerubbabel. The word of the Lord came to him through the prophet. And when the word of the Lord was going to come to him, that word came to himself and the priest, what you may call the high priest of those days. And then thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, these people say, the time is not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built. Now notice this is in the second year of who? King Darius. This is the second year, the sixth month. Let's go to Zechariah chapter 1, because I need to do this. When you come to Zechariah chapter 1, you would notice something. In the eighth month, in the second year of who? Darius. Who was speaking in the sixth month? Who was speaking in the sixth month? There was a man speaking in the sixth month. And then the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, the Lord has been sore displeased with your fathers. So when you look at this, it seems to us that because of the critical nature of the building, the critical nature of God, what God wanted to achieve, God decided to raise two voices at the same time. Two prophets that were prophesying because the people were discouraged. The people were down and out. And so God had to speak through Haggai the prophet, at least you call him a minor prophet. And then God had to raise another one to speak by the name Zechariah. Two prophetic voices running concurrently. I think if we have a little bit of history in scripture, for every season, God raises one major prophet. Am I communicating with you? For every season in scripture, you will either see an Isaiah and the glory of God will rest on him. He will be the one bringing direction, bringing instruction, bringing the mind of God to the people. But for the first time, when it came to building a system for God upon the face of the earth, when it came to building what God wanted to achieve on earth, there are two people that rose and they began to speak on that day. And as they were speaking, the speakings of God from these two prophetic voices were targeted at two people. Number one, targeted at the individual, the recipient of that assignment, the man that will receive the assignment and run with it. And number two, the people that will come together in consonance to bring the will of God. If you understand me, say amen. So two prophets were running because of how critical what God wanted to achieve was. And the reason was because at some point these people were discouraged. At some point these people were so afraid. They have been away from their mother and fatherland for a long time. And now they were coming back. Not only were they coming back, there was this knowledge that everything about this building has been captured. And so we read, and I'm standing on the existing protocol to just run my message. So we read from the book of Zechariah chapter 4, where Reverend Gideon started his teaching from. And he talked about the oil, talked about all of those metaphors that were there. But there is something very critical that I want to bring to your notice when the Lord was going to speak to him. He said that the hand of Zerubbabel has laid this foundation. The hand of Zerubbabel also will ensure that he brings the capstone. Somebody say the capstone. What is the capstone in a building? So Zerubbabel is going to lay the foundation. Not only will Zerubbabel lay the foundation, because when they started the building, and the Bible says that, who art thou mountain before what? Zerubbabel. The mountain before Zerubbabel were human beings. So what should be your posture when the Lord gives you an assignment? Because your assignment does not immune you from confrontation. It doesn't immune you from pushback. In fact, it does not immune you from some setback. So they kept pushing. And the Lord had to come. Do you know that for me, I felt that God was psyching them. Thank you. I felt that God was psyching them. And the way God was going to motivate them, what you call motivational speaking, was what God was doing here. And the way God was going to motivate them was to release a prophetic word. And when he released that prophetic word, let's go to verse chapter 4 now. As I begin to lay blocks on a few matters. Then he answered, verse 6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel. So those items, those articles he saw, Reverend Gideon already itemized them to us yesterday. And he said, these things you saw, this is the word of the Lord. Okay, this is the word of the Lord. And then he morphed into talking about the anointing and all of that. He said, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by power, nor not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. So he will bring forth the headstone. You see, he laid the foundation, the way the foundation of this house was laid. And God said there is surely an assurance that he will not only lay the foundation of this stone, he will also bring the headstone. The word headstone there is the capstone. It's what you need before you can set the roof of a building. Praise the Lord. So the headstone is as strategic as the foundation stone, because it is the headstone that will fitly hold the roof of the building. If you don't have a headstone before you put a building, before you put a roof, everything will come crashing. It was why I studied this scripture. I knew the importance of having foundation and having headstone, because it is in headstone that covering is solidified. You need the roof for covering, but you need headstone to determine the roof. If you don't have a headstone, or what you call the, so in the scriptures there is what we call the foundation stone, there's what we call the cornerstone, and then there's what we call the headstone. So the cornerstone is a stone by the building, very, very immaterial as it were, but that is where Ezekiel was going to peep from a little hole. How many of you remember that prophecy when he looked into the temple from a wall? That stone, all God did was to say there is a cornerstone, that, and Jesus is the cornerstone. If I open him up, you will see what is going on in the temple. Praise the Lord. So the headstone put solidity to the covering of the house. And God said to him, you know what? The covering of my building is going to come to pass because I have determined to bring it to pass. And it's going to happen not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And then they continued prophesying. All that God was doing is to release strength into them. So the first accurate posture to every divine project or divine assignment is faith. Help me tell your neighbor, faith. Every project by kingdom emissaries, every project by men and women that you think are giants in the kingdom, every project that God will ask you to embark on as a child of God, seated there listening to me today, I want to let you know that the only way you can attain and begin that project is first faith. It's first to receive and to believe in what the Lord has said to you. And when I talk about faith, I'm trying to say to you that faith is not self-generated. Help me tell your neighbor, faith is not self-generated. Nobody generates faith by himself. Faith is generated on a belief system, on something that you heard, something that was told you, an information that begins to build up confidence in your inside. Having confidence in God is what I'm saying. That God will give you an assignment, and there is no way you can achieve it by yourself in the first instance. God will never call you to achieve something you can achieve by your strength. So he said, not by power. God will not give you an assignment that you can achieve by your might. How many of you have connections and somebody promised you that, oh, as you embark on this thing, he envisaged that you are going to embark on it in 2 years' time. And 2 years was far. And then here you are in 2 years. You appeared in that date. And then you called the person back and said, I'm about to start now. And they stop picking your calls. If you are in that category, let me see your hand. Because I'm in that category. Let me see your hand. I remember Reverend Gideon was going to go for his master's, and a man told him, don't go now. Wait till next year. I will pay for it. And Reverend Gideon knew that God told him to go. So he didn't bother. By the year the man was going to pay, the man himself needed help. So if you are trusted in the arm of flesh, he would have been in trouble. I remember in 2019 when the Lord spoke to me about going full time with RC and Lagos. I was coming from Uyo, August 19 or thereabout. And I just said to myself in Uyo, I said, well, I'm going into full time. I have Pastor Jonathan Oraka. I have my son Dan Ladi. I have this person. And I began to say that they will be giving me 200 every month, 300K every month. By the time they give me this money, I will amount to having 1. Something million every month. So full time, no problem. This was not from God. This was me sitting down, imagining vain things. Calculating that Reverend Oraka will give me 300,000. He didn't call me that God said I should give you 300,000. Are you with me? I just sat down because there is a posture you must sustain in towards divine assignment. So I concocted it and I sat down in the aircraft. When we landed in Lagos, as soon as I was coming out of the aircraft, the Lord said to me, cursed be anyone that put his trust in man. I knew right there that God was telling me, son, you are thinking that these guys will bankroll your lost. And I stood in the aircraft right there, and I closed my eyes and I said, Lord, show me mercy. Have mercy on me. And I began to speak in tongue. I began to speak in tongue, and I picked my luggage, and I was walking down. As I began to speak in tongue, I summoned the names. I actually had 4 names. By the time I calculated, it was 1.2 million. I summoned those 4 names into my chest, and I began to pray in tongues until the Lord burnt their names one after the other. I no longer saw them as people that will help me. Am I communicating with you? The journey of a divine project is the journey of faith. The Bible says it's impossible to please the Lord outside of faith. Whatever you do outside of faith is sin. And that is why I'm breaking this to you in capsules. So you don't come here and you see this building and we say that it's by the hand of the Lord. There are processes that you will go through to bring you to this place. This is not a building that appeared under 2 years. This is a building that appeared under many years of processing, of chiseling, of correction, of mistakes. Because most of the time, you don't know that we also make mistakes. And I mean real mistakes, real time. Not the ones in the spirit, real time. And so their names burnt. Guess what? One of the names in my chest that will be giving me money, that year went through crisis, that I had to be the one to come in. You must have faith. So when God was saying to Zerubbabel that it is not by power, it's God telling Zerubbabel, young man, this building project is not by the number of these people you are seeing. This building project is going to be occasioned by the things that I bring you into. What are the things that attacks divine project? Number one, fear. Do you know why fear attacks divine project? Sincerely, sir, divine project are bigger than you. They were not initiated by you. When a man sits down and tells you that, I know, if you go and meet Reverend Gideon, you see this building now? You need to ask him how much was in the account they were building. Then you need to ask him that, were there times where the account came to 5,000? The account came to 5,000 and the project will continue. And there was no need to call somebody and say, hey bro, we are stranded now. We need you to give us 10 million and we'll return later. You know why? Because God's will is God's bill. If God initiated it, he will fund it. But the thing is, there will be fear in your inside. There will be fear that will grip you. In fact, please permit me to use this building as an example, because we are talking building. I remembered when we were going to start the project. Life Forever, there was a place his faith could take. I will not expose him. There was a place his faith, he said, okay, I think my faith can. Even that place was by faith. That's where the faith could stretch to. But it's a divine assignment that the Lord has given. And then we had to, and I'll show you, we had to come in to psych him by prophecy. Oga, you know, ba, you are the black diamond of the plateau. Oga, you know God has called. Why do you want to do something that tomorrow you will begin to think of expanding it? We have not finished this. As I'm talking to you now, in the next 1 year, there will be an expansion program here. That's it. So you move by what? By faith. In fact, the second thing was, when we do this project, no problem. I don't want to be doing Bible study here on Tuesdays. We'll be doing Bible study at the back. That is what his faith could carry. But by the time we have not finished building, and I was watching the program, the last, what was the program I spoke to you about? The last Tuesday meeting, I was in Canada watching. And I said, oh, please don't finish. What do you remain? If you can expand your vessel in God, you can expand your views in God, God will feel it. So it's a journey of faith. that we believe in what the Lord has said to us. So everything that was going on with Zerubbabel was to encourage him to believe that, look, you will put this building together. You will not only put it together, you will roof the building. And then the glory of God will come upon the building. So when God was speaking to him, it's not by power, it's not by might, it's a call out of the ordinary to come into that which the Lord has said to him. To come into that which the Lord has said to him. To come into that which the Lord has said to him. Now I have a question for you. What has the Lord said to you? What assignment is hanging on your head, oh brothers and sisters? What assignment is on your head? You know, for us as a clan, it's a season of building. So I know what I'm saying to you. The same thing that went on here went on with us in Lagos. I had a class of faith. My faith was classified with a figure. That anything we want to do must not exceed 25 million. And my faith can carry 25 million. At least if I sell my two cars, if nobody give, I sell my two cars, I ask my wife, your salary drop, we will raise like 15. So I had calculated within my head that we will raise that money. Then when God was going to bring the project, they first denied us where we paid for. And then my people went and saw a place. And they said, Rev, this is our place. We have found the place. And I said, this place looks big. Go and find out how much the place is. And they came back and said, the place is 320 million. How do you move from 25 million to 320 million? And the Lord has spoken that there is a ram that has been caught in a thicket. I said, okay, 320. I don't even have mouth to tell Papa that this land is 320 million. Somebody say, accurate posture to divine assignment. So I said, okay, you guys see it and come back. I'll go and see the place. Then I went. The moment I entered, the Lord said, this is the place. I said, 320 million. And I sent the place to Reverend Gideon. 320 million. I said, this time we had only 35 million. When this building was going to start, we didn't have 5 million in the account. This building you are sitting in now, this building is a project of faith. Done by faith and executed by faith. This is how we spend in the kingdom. This is how we embark on projects in the kingdom. And I'm saying to you, brothers and sisters that are listening to me today, it doesn't matter how big the assignment is. If the Lord spoke, the Lord will fund it. You are not getting me. I'm beginning to feel the stirring of the prophetic now. I said, if the Lord spoke, the Lord will fund it. It doesn't matter where you were born. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter your background. If the Lord initiated it, the Lord will consummate it. You are not with me. I said the Lord will consummate it. In the name of Jesus. Just make sure that that thing you are doing was called by God. And that is why I'm throwing a challenge to you. If it's not God that is calling you to do something, drop it and wait for the right time. The accurate posture, number two, is that assignments are season specific. Divine assignments are season specific. Divine assignments are season specific. And because the time for the building had come, I told you that this building was so critical that God had to raise two prophets to speak to the people and to the chief host of that assignment. So in this regard now, Reverend Gideon is the recipient of the assignment. But there are people that we work with him. Some are not in Nigeria. Some are not in America. Some are in different time zones. But they will hear the alarm. Anytime he stands to speak, there will be an alarm that will come to their heart that we need to be a part of this project. You know why? Because your assignment is season specific. There is a season to lack. There is a season to weep. There is a season to put yourself together. There is a season. When your season comes, everything works.
But before that season comes, God will try you. So your destiny is season specific. Your assignment is season specific. There is a season for training. There is a season for making. There is a season for growing. And we will keep growing even when we are in the building. But all I'm saying to you is that the vision itself, the assignment itself, is specifically tied to times and season. There is no way you would have desired that, okay, you just move into Jos and you will build. There is a time for you to be tested in the land. There is a time for you to also wield your anointing and power against territorial forces and demons. There is a time where those forces will even touch you a little bit. Somebody say a little bit. They will scratch you. That reminded me of one time that Reverend Gideon was in a prayer meeting. And he was going very early morning with the children. And the car somersaulted. As the car was somersaulting, you know what he was saying? You know, Reverend Gideon is a man of faith. He said, what nonsense is this? First. Second, what nonsense is this? Third, what nonsense is this? He came out. I saw the picture recently. That's why I'm remembering this story. And he was bleeding. Then sent me the picture. I called him and said, oh God, go to the hospital first. He said, no. To go to the hospital first meant Satan won. I'm going to lead the prayer like this. Can you remember? Now look at the building. But the territorial conclaves decided to touch him. They scratch him. So you will go through the season of scratching. You will go through the season of screeching. They will screech you. It will be as though God is not with you. But the thing is, they will touch you, but they cannot take your life. Come on, say amen to that. He said, this is Job, my servant. He will not deny me. If you think it's a lie, touch him. But don't touch his life. In other words, Satan does not have the capacity to say, I will kill you tomorrow, and he does that. It's only God that can take your life. If your time has not come and there is an assignment for you to manifest upon the face of the earth, I want to let you know there are many edifices locked up in your spirit right now. Many of you, what you are seeing today, you carry 10 times in you. You will need to pray. They were raising the altar of prayer to tell God that we totally depend on you. Because any man that prays shows that he's dependent on a deity. You didn't hear me? Any man that prays shows that he's dependent on a deity. I decided to use the word deity because you are not the only one that prays. But when you pray as a believer, it shows that you are dependent on the Holy Ghost. You are dependent on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so prayer is what strengthens our conviction. Prayer is what deepens our conviction. Prayer is what gives us confidence to say, how much is it? It shall be paid for. So when God gives an assignment, don't just stand up and say, I will fulfill it. There's no problem. It's going to come to pass. And you speak linguistic English. You will bend. You will bend. I can't understand. You will be can until you are canned together. Because you will need to pray. You will need to pray. You will need to seek the face of the Lord. You will need to pray deep. So we will give ourselves to prayer and the study of the word. For there is no need for us to serve tables. Our assignment is not to serve tables. Look for other people that will do it. You would have thought that that principle they were replicating was an easy task. No, they saw that principle in Jesus. How did they see it in Jesus, Reverend Tina? Reverend Jangfa. You know how they saw it in Jesus? When the disciples, you know the Bible said in Acts chapter 6, there was murmuring among the disciples. When they were disciples, they saw multitude also that needed to be fed, Reverend John. They needed to be fed. So they went to Jesus, send them away to go and eat. And Jesus said, you give them to eat. I'm not sending them away. I'll not be an irresponsible Jesus. Give them to what? To eat. And they said, we don't have anything. Three different accounts. But the thing is, give them to eat as disciples. So they learned from that principle. When they saw Jesus broke the bread and gave thanks to God, they know they cannot give bread. What they will give is a spiritual dimension. So when it was their own turn, disciples were murmuring also. They remembered. And they said, we will give ourselves to the ministry of prayer and the word. Did you notice that there is nothing called a gift of prayer We have the gift of what? You don't know your Bible. The gift of what? The gift of faith. The gift of prophecy. The gift of healings. Gift of what again? Word of knowledge. Word of wisdom. No gift of prayer. But do you know that the brightest of these gifts is when you pray? Giftings are just dormant until prayer is applied. Hey, that's when you will see a prophet come and say, okay, I see a name like this. He will not know the he will spell it. Then you see, pastor will begin to teach because it is prayer that drives the gift. You don't have gift of prayer, you cultivate prayer. You cultivate it. You give yourself to it. 30 minutes. 20 minutes. I am not one that tells you from the beginning, start 10 hours. Everybody that prayed for, that prays 10 hours started with 30 minutes. 5 minutes. Thank you, daddy. They pray with 5 minutes. So don't let, when you hear us say, if you have not prayed for 10 hours, you are in trouble. Don't feel bad. Just go and be growing. You do 30 minutes, you just say, 30 minutes, don't finish now. It's not enough. You know why? Your spirit is becoming bogus. You are growing. You are no longer lean and slim. But if you remain on 30 minutes for 30 years, it means you are not growing too. So you need to desire to grow. Why? The believer should pray short. The believer should pray long. Jesus showed us that example. Lazarus! Comfort. And he wept. Then when we go to Luke chapter 20, he prayed long. So Jesus prayed short and he prayed long. And I hope this morning, by this few points of mine, I've been able to convince you and not confuse you that there is an accurate posture to divine. Can you bow your heads and pray? Bow your heads and pray. And some of you are going to receive an impartation now. And it's going to be prophetic in nature. Gold and silver have I none, but such as I have, our guys are going to come into it. All the, we are men that God has shown help. So pray to the Father. Some of you, the partnership are people that bring about ambition. Just pray, 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 pray. Some of you, your prayer lives need to be deepened. That as I leave this place, my prayer life will revive. Poronia sale peredis. Langra porona shatebelia. Le crudusa felatabia. Mandra salele kura badia kalata. Oh! Somebody cry to Jesus. Right now, right now. There is a young lady, the power of God is coming on you now. You are asking him, Lord, give me grace to do this. Now you receive that grace. Oh my God. The Holy Ghost is coming into this building. There is a young lady here now. Your prayer life is being restored. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is coming. Hanembos. Oh. Fire. His fire is coming on you right now. Where you are seated, resolve to go back. Resolve to go back. I hear the Lord say to me, the restoration of lost axe head. Fallen axe heads have been restored now. The Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. We are coming into that reality. We are coming into that reality now. Rain on me. Yesterday is gone. Today I'm in need. Somebody cry to Jesus. Oh my God. 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 Cry to Jesus. Receive that fire. Cry to Jesus. Receive that fire. In Jesus' name we pray. Please, can you all rise up? Can you rise up? Can you rise up? Can you stretch forth your hands? Can you all rise up? Lord, your hands just want to pray for you and I leave. With exception to none, but that everybody that has listened to this word and the teachings over this week, what God has done here, that he spoke to Zerubbabel concerning in scripture, that we are seeing here, the Lord will replicate it in all of us.
Amen.
You don't understand the prayer part. You don't understand the declaration. I said, all of you that came here, you know the beautiful thing about this project? Not one day did this work stop. The projects of God in your life will not come to a halt 1 minute.
Yes.
I cannot hear your amen.
Yes.
The project of your life, our destinies collectively here, as you embark on your journey, and if there is anyone that has made a detour, today we realign you.
Yes.
Today we reconnect you back.
Yes.
I pray simple prayer for you that you don't need to fall, but will empower your destiny. I pray for you that in the name of Jesus Christ, your project as destiny will not come to a halt.
Yes.
The same God that brought this roof and ensured that the capstone was laid, that same God will do it in your life. Every prophecy over your life that has found difficulty in manifestation, today we reconnect you back. And from today, let the divine begin to order your course. In the name of Jesus, receive the empowerment. Receive the emboldened to go and fulfill your destiny. Go and fulfill your goal. Go and fulfill your goal. Go and fulfill your mandate. Can you shout that amen 7 times?
Dearly beloved, we believe you've been greatly blessed by this sermon. Do you want to download more sermons of your favorite preachers? Visit www.spiritnerds.org today. Reach us by email for more information and concerns at spiritnerds.org@gmail.com. God bless you.